Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back to 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Little bit of the Stones bringing us back. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Josh Ryder is our guest, our new friend, but soon to be not a new friend. We're going to get him back again. He's got a lot more to teach us. He's chief economist for iCIMS, I-C-I-M-S. It's a business software company. We'll get him to tell us about that in a little bit. He's a former economist for Bloomberg, former market policy analyst for the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. And, Josh, thanks again for hanging out with us. You said something when we went to the break about maybe this is full employment, but then we have to overlay the 38,000 jobs in May. And I don't know about you, but I'd completely disregard as virtually irrelevant the U3 number. I only pay attention to the U6 number, and my audience knows what that means. I've gone over that with them a good bit in the show. But when you overlay that 38,000 jobs and the fact that unemployment went down, don't you have to include the perspective that comes from 63% or so participation, which is the worst in 40 years?
You absolutely do, and this is a debate that's been going on for at least 2 years now, ever since Fed Chair Janet Yellen, when she took the position of leading the Fed. She, of course, by training is a labor economist, and one of her big things early on was to say, hey, our labor statistics are insufficient. Let's face the facts. You know, we're using basically, you know, an outdated dashboard for the economy, and it's not clear that the unemployment rate really is what we should be targeting. And yet at the same time, you know, this is one of the challenges with policymaking, is that, you know, it's not so easy to just update the laws and say, well, now we've got to, you know, fiddle with the numbers a little bit. The reality is the Fed has a mandate that is based on unemployment. And so they have to pay attention to it. And that means since we all have to pay attention to the Fed, we have to pay attention to unemployment. So it depends a little bit on how you define the question. But absolutely, I mean, this is not, you know, 4.7% doesn't mean what it used to be.
No,
it used to mean.
Exactly. Well, especially when you understand what's happened in the last 7 years. I mean, look at all the people who were unemployed who were put on disability. I mean, it used to be hard to get on disability. Now, in the last 7 years, they've been giving it away. Look at the people. Look at how many more people are on food stamps and on other kinds of welfare than we had before. Those people are out of the workforce. So and the people who have quit looking for a job, they've given up looking for a job. Maybe they started a business. Not too many did that. And so that means that, as you say, 4.7% unemployment is a bogus number if you're thinking about it with any kind of historical perspective.
Yeah, you certainly can't make a naive comparison. And, you know, it's unfortunate because some of us were getting really excited last fall and earlier this spring when we saw labor force participation was actually starting to rise. And we thought, wow, Janet Yellen might be right, because economic growth has been a little bit stronger, because the Fed has maintained easy rates for a little bit longer, it really does seem to be pulling people back in. But then in April and May, we started to lose that ground. So we've now lost, I think, two-thirds of the gains that we had in labor force participation. So it's a difficult time, but you've got to remember that also we have an aging population. So this is one of the long-term structural changes. Those people are going to, there's only so much we can do to keep them working.
Well, but the good news is we've got a generation that's larger than the aging generation that's coming on. So, I mean, and that's where the United States has an advantage over many other industrialized countries. Almost all the other industrialized countries, and the ones in Europe, in Japan, we've got a big advantage over them. But I want to come back to something you talked about a minute ago in the first segment. How much of what we're experiencing right now in the challenges we're having, the headwinds, the job creation headwinds we're experiencing, how much of it is policy? How much of it is structural changes in the way people work, the way we think about accomplishing a task? You know, whether we use technology, whether it's people, and I say it's some of both. What do you think?
Well, it certainly is some of both. The good news is that we don't see the same kind of tightening that we saw a couple of years ago coming out of fiscal policy when we had sequestration and all these budget battles. You know, there's a real restrictive force coming out of government spending just because that contracted. Now, you may or may not think that that was a good choice for the long term, but in the short term, it did affect economic growth.
Right.
And at the same time, we've now got the Fed in tightening mode, so that's a little bit of a countervailing force. So you know, you see that rates have risen only modestly, but that's a little bit of a slowing force on the economy, which they think is appropriate because inflation has just started to inch up, and they feel that they've got to be ready for that. But a big portion of it is the changes within our own economy, and then also what's going on with our trade partners.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another question. And there, I think you've got a lot of policy problems.
But you
well.
Also have to include the marketplace issues, the technology, the innovations, the way people think about, as I said, doing a job. I mean, today, there was a time when a minimum wage increase was a nightmare for a lot of businesses. Today, they're able to say, okay, well, let me see what kind of technology I can buy. Maybe I just don't hire those people.
That's right. And I think what that speaks to, when you talk about policy, is that we've really got to have the right kind of education and training programs. Not all this has to take place in our traditional schools, but people need to be ready to work in the workplace of the future because that
right.
workplace is changing faster and faster every day.
What?
In fact, there's a great book out, Second Machine Age. It came out a couple of years ago, and they argue that we haven't even begun to see the real benefits of the last 20 years or so of technology.
And the benefits are there, but with the benefits also come the disruption. And that's what
yes.
I think we're feeling a lot of that disruption right now. When we come back, I'm going to get Josh to talk to us about a little bit. I'm going to give him to tell us a little bit of what he thinks about what the Fed's going to do. They're meeting, I think it's next week. And we'll be covering it then, too. I want to see what he thinks about it and what he thinks about the economy for the rest of the year. Tim Till, I'm Jim Bicegger. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.